Are you guys having a good day? I have discovered that sometimes in life it's just hunky-dory and everything's coming up roses. It feels like the world is your oyster. You know, sometimes you're feeling strong and smart and healthy and attractive. Sometimes you win the award, you beat the game, you get the position or promotion, you find what you're looking for, everyone loves you, and your favorite meal is being served for dinner. For some of the kids in the youth group, maybe you open the pack and the Pokemon card that you always wanted is staring up at you. Or you open the Christmas present and it's exactly what you asked for. But sadly, though, you quickly discover that sometimes life will knock you off your feet and then kick you when you're down. Sometimes your dreams get hijacked and your hard work will be punished instead of rewarded. Sometimes, instead of success and achievement, you are dealt a hand of heartache and disappointment. In this life, there are mean people, mean animals, mean bugs, and even mean plants. I'm thinking of thorns and poison ivy. There are minor irritations like splinters and acne, and there are major irritations like earthquakes and tornadoes. There are minor ailments like a cold, and there are major ailments like cancer. There are accidents, and there are on-purpose dents. Sometimes we strike out. Sometimes we crash and burn. Have you ever caught yourself saying, "Why me?" And we often experience hardships and trials in this life, and sometimes they are the direct result of our efforts to try to live as Christians. We deal with emotional and physical hardships and sufferings on a fairly regular basis, and let me tell you, I don't like it. Well, if you have a Bible handy, we're going to be looking in the Old Testament at a passage in Isaiah chapter 40. Right about in the middle of your Bible is the book of Psalms, and when you get there, you just turn right, and it won't take you too long before you hit Isaiah. The question is, what do you do when life is tough and you're weary and discouraged and you're feeling helpless? Where do you turn? You're probably familiar with Isaiah 40:31. It's one of those passages that's found on t-shirts and it's found on coffee mugs and posters and all over the place. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Before we look at that, though, we need to get the context. So let's go back to verse 27. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God?" So who is he talking to? Remember in Genesis that God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and the tribes, well, they came from his sons. And so this is just a bit of parallelism, saying the same thing in two different ways. Well, the prophet Isaiah, he witnessed the collapse of the northern kingdom in the first part of his ministry as Israel fell to the invading Assyrians. In Isaiah 10:5, God called Assyria the rod of his anger. God was using them to punish his people, to try to wake them up. And it's kind of like parents do with their children from time to time. It was their fault that they were in this situation. Isaiah also predicted the fall of the southern kingdom and their Babylonian captivity. Now let's think about this. At the moment, America is a very powerful nation. But can you imagine what it would be like to be conquered by another nation and then carried off to be a servant in a foreign land? Now, I've gone through some rough patches in my life, but nothing like that. And so it's a good possibility that this is coming from the perspective of the Jewish people who would be suffering in their captivity, which is mentioned in the previous chapter. Here's the thing. When life is hard and you're really going through the ringer, it's easy to lose confidence in God. Where is he? It's like he doesn't see me, or he's forgotten about me, or he doesn't care. Why doesn't he help me out? Why does he leave me in this condition? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever said things like that? Well, that's what they're saying in verse 27. He answered them in verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? So the first thing we need to do is be reminded of who God is. Now, being the people of God, they had heard and knew better than anyone. They had plenty of light on this subject, and the same is true for us. The everlasting God, the Lord, that's Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He's the eternal creator. He's not like the fake pagan idols, which are so popular back in Isaiah's day. Now, the ends of the earth, that just means all of it. Don't forget that he is the creator of the earth and the universe. If he has the power to create the universe, he certainly has enough power to come to the aid of his people. Back in verse 26, it says to look at the stars that he's created and that he calls all of them by name and not one of them is missing. He keeps track of all of them. Now, maybe like me, when you go up to the mountains, you are surprised. I mean, you find it amazing how many stars you can see. Okay, does anybody here know how many stars there are? Actually, no one does. In Genesis 15 and in Jeremiah 33, God said that the stars could not be counted. And so he used it poetically to paint the picture of a large number. Well, we now know that there are so many stars that we can only estimate. The Bible got it right. It's often been said that there are about 100 billion galaxies and about 100 billion stars in each galaxy. Although I've read that there are some now who think it's actually about three times that amount. As far as we can tell, the observable universe has a radius of about 46 billion light years. But many people believe that there's every reason to think that the universe extends a long way beyond the part of the universe that we can see with our current technology. God was obviously trying to make a point. Anyway, there are a lot more stars than people. If God can keep track of the stars, well, he can definitely keep track of you. Isaiah said that he doesn't become weary or tired. I mean, it's not like God is taking a nap and missing what's happening to you, or he doesn't know what to do. See, for some reason, in times of difficulty, people tend to think of God in human terms. We need to quit that. He's not 6 feet tall. His understanding is inscrutable. I like that word. It means beyond understanding or explanation. It can't be scrutinized. The NIV says, no one can fathom. So there's your word for the day, inscrutable. Two things here. First, he certainly knows what we're going through. And second, because our understanding is very limited and it is not inscrutable, we're not always going to know what he's up to. He doesn't always do things in the way that we think he should, but we've got to trust that he loves us and that he knows what he's doing, that he knows what's best. Sometimes, like the Israelites in captivity, we may be going through something that is trying, it's to teach us a lesson or to mature us. He went on. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. God doesn't become weary. In fact, he's the one who gives strength to the weary. That's one of the things that he does for those who trust in him and who look to him for aid. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. One thing that we need to do is recognize our limits. You know, he's talking about when we're our best, when we're in our prime, when we're in our youth, when we are vigorous young men and so forth. You think of the ones who have the greatest physical ability. We've got some athletes here today and some former athletes. Well, see, when you're young, you feel like you can do anything and everything. But there are always limits. Let's say we had some contests to see who was the strongest person here today. Right, maybe we had a push-up competition and a pull-up competition and an arm wrestling competition and a few others, and we conclusively discovered that this person is the strongest one here. Well, they're still really not that strong. they've got lots of limitations. And of course, their strength is insignificant next to God. And we see the contrast between the best the human race has to offer and God, verse 28. Unlike us, God's power is inexhaustible. And the Apostle Paul, he talked about us being like jars of clay, 2 Corinthians 4:7. Not very strong or sturdy. The point is, no matter who you are, no matter how fast, strong, smart, whatever, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you are an Olympic gold medalist with a genius IQ. There is going to come a time when you need help and you should look to God, where you are not depending on human power and ability. There are limits to your own strength and ability and endurance. Verse 31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. So what does it mean to wait for the Lord? We find this phrase a few times in the book of Isaiah. And we also discover that the Psalms, they will also talk about waiting for the Lord quite a bit. Well, it's putting our confidence and our trust in God and knowing that he will do it at the right time. So don't freak out or give up, but wait for God. Trust in him and wait for his help. So we do what we can, and then we put it in God's hands. 1 Peter 5:7, it tells us to cast all our anxiety upon him because he cares for us. Now, who here likes to wait? There are a few things in life more irritating than having to wait. Waiting in traffic, waiting in a waiting room, waiting in line at the store, waiting for the new season of your favorite show, waiting for your husband to fix whatever it is, waiting for the preacher to get done with his sermon. We do a lot of waiting in life. In Dr. Seuss's book, Oh, the Places You'll Go, there's a section that talks about this that I like. Waiting for a train to go or a bus to come, or a plane to go or the mail to come, or the rain to go or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. Most people don't like waiting, and especially in this culture. See, we live in what has been called a fast food society. We like speed, we like efficiency, we like immediate gratification. I read that back in 2006, a website taking 4 seconds to load was considered acceptable. Well, today, if it takes longer than 1 second, boy, we're on the phone complaining to our internet service provider. And our inability to wait is the cause of so many problems in this life. Our inability to wait is the cause of most debt. Not all, but most. We buy it before we can afford it. Our inability to wait is the cause of most STDs. We're not willing to wait until marriage. Our inability to wait until we have finished our homework before we go play is the cause of a lot of bad grades. And I'm sure you can think of many other examples. Patience is difficult to develop because it's contrary to our culture. Now, you go to a third world country today, and you'll find that often they're much more laid back. They probably wonder why we're so uptight, why we're always on this fast track and in a rat race. Well, this impatience, sure enough, it can roll over into our spiritual lives, and it can cause us to have a hard time waiting on the Lord. Because sometimes we get in a hurry, and God isn't. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. And some versions use the word renew or revive their strength. And the Hebrew word that Isaiah used here, it was sometimes used for a plant or tree that started sprouting and budding again after the winter. See, in the winter, a lot of plants, a lot of trees, they look like they're dead. And sure enough, we can be in a really bad place, going through a really rough patch in our lives where we feel like a tree in winter. Like there's almost no life left in us. We're so discouraged. So strength for what? Well, it's not talking about being able to beat the Incredible Hulk in an arm wrestling match. It's strength to get through our difficult times. Strength to overcome our spiritual foes. Strength to gain the victory over our sins. We need strength when the odds are against us. We need strength when doing what is right is not popular. We need strength when facing a crisis. We need strength when shouldering responsibility and so forth. In the New Testament, we find passages like these, coming from different contexts. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. See, the purpose of this strengthening is so Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Philippians 4:12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So there it's being content in every situation, which is not easy. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. See, this power is not the ability to shoot force lightning out of your hands like in Star Wars, but it's to receive steadfastness, or your version might say endurance and patience. It's the strength to stick it out, not give up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 12 and 13. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Strengthen to be blameless and holy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Work and word, the things we do, the things we say. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. The Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. I think that's referring to Satan. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. I really like this one. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He gave Paul strength to get through that. And whatever we've got to get through, whatever we're going through on this earth, if we stick with him, he'll bring us safely home to be with him in his heavenly kingdom, which of course is the best thing of all. 1 Peter 4:11. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. See, there it's strength to serve. And one more. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. See, Peter's recipients were going through quite a bit of persecution. Isaiah even talked about mounting up with wings like eagles. Now, eagles, of course, very large and powerful birds. As you know, our national bird is the bald eagle. And I read that it was chosen because of things like its long life, its great strength, and its majestic look. See, because of their size, bald eagles, they don't have to worry about threats from other birds. And they're also a symbol of freedom because they can pretty much fly wherever they want to go. And with their great wings, you notice that they can often fly with little effort. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4, God said, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." And of course, you remember the 10 plagues, and you remember the parting of the Red Sea and so forth. There may be times in our lives where we feel surrounded. There's difficulty, there's danger on every side, there's no apparent means of escape. Now, we can't even dig down because we're on rock. Well, that's not going to stump God. You see, he can give us wings so that we can fly away, as it were. Have you ever made it through something that you thought was going to be impossible? And there are other passages that mention eagles, right? Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." I read that some eagles will live over 50 years. Because their feathers receive wear and tear from use, they molt each year and they get new feathers. And so an eagle could be 50 years old but still gets brand new feathers that year. We may have times in our lives when God gives us renewed energy for the task at hand. And there's some amazing stories of accomplishments by those who are older. But there's one way with the Lord that we're always being renewed. 2 Corinthians 4:16. "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." Our outer man can get beat up pretty bad. And of course, we're always getting older. Now, when you're older, you don't have the speed and the strength of your youth, but your wisdom and your spiritual maturity should be light years ahead of what it was back when you could do all those push-ups. Now, notice that it's will in each of these. They will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow tired. They will walk and not become weary. And you also notice how he put it in reverse order. Fly, run, walk. Because normally you start by walking and then you run and then you fly. And there are different ideas on why he did it that way. It could have been done to simply catch our attention and make us ask the question, "I wonder why he did that." There are times in our lives when we need the strength to fly. Not literally, but nothing's impossible with God. There are times when we need the strength to run, and there are times when we need the strength to walk. He's using poetic language. Again, they would be suffering in this very long and difficult captivity, and they couldn't rescue themselves. But if they would trust in God, and if they would wait for him, well, someday they'd be able to return to their homeland, and they would fly, run, and walk again. You see, besides predicting the Babylonian captivity, Isaiah is also known for predicting the rise of Cyrus by name, the guy who would unite the Medes and the Persians and conquer Babylon and then allow the Jews to go back home. I mean, can you imagine the joy and the excitement many of them felt when they heard the decree that they could return to their homeland? It wasn't easy, but they put their trust in God and they waited for him. Here's the point I'm trying to make. This teaching is just as true now as it was back then. I believe it applies to us as well. Keep in mind all those passages in the New Testament on God strengthening us and us being strengthened. So, how long will it take, this waiting on the Lord? I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that it will come if we stick with God. You stick with him, and he'll give you the strength to get through it. So here's a good question I think we all need to ask. Is my hope and confidence in myself, or maybe in my family, friends, my teachers, my coaches, my government, or is it in my God? Now, you can get some help from those others, but it's not the kind of help that you can get from God. So, are you going through a difficult time in your life at the moment? One that's stressing you out and you can't fix on your own? What you need to do is follow the advice here from the prophet Isaiah. And again, sometimes God has a purpose for allowing us to go through what we're going through. Maybe it's for our benefit, to teach us something, or to make us stronger, make us tougher. Or maybe it's for the benefit of someone else. Maybe there's something going on, like in the book of Job, where Satan asked to test him. I don't know. What I do know is even though Job wasn't happy about it, he didn't give up. He didn't give up on God. And so in the end, God blessed him greatly. Read the last chapter of Job sometime. You do what you can, and you give it to God. You put your trust in him, and you wait for the Lord. He doesn't always do things in the way or the timetable that we would like or that we think he should. But remember that unlike us, he sees the big picture. And his understanding is inscrutable. Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I don't always understand what God is doing or has done. And I don't always understand what's on time. We might think of John chapter 11 with Mary and Martha waiting for Jesus when Lazarus got sick. And you remember, they sent word to Jesus to come and heal him. Jesus didn't come. Jesus waited. He didn't go right away. So when he got there, they said, you're too late. He's dead. Was he too late? Not at all. He simply had something else in mind. As you know, there are many people who get tired of sitting in God's waiting room. And so they get up and they leave. They turn to other solutions. And of course, I'm putting that in very big quotation marks. So here's the admonition. In the dark days of your life, don't give up on God. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary.